The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. I am back. Don't know back for how long, but I am back broadcasting live from the heart of District 1 in downtown KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You can also listen online where it is streaming, KCNR1460.com. And a special thank you to Nick and Doug and the whole team at Poke the Hornet's Nest to give me an opportunity to come back on. Like I said, it's been a while, maybe a couple months, and I'm still debating if I'm coming back full-time or not, but there's just so much stuff going on that I really felt, and many of you urged me to get back on and start sharing more information. So I will be starting my coffees up again in the next week or two, so be looking for that. I will always, of course, post when I will do that on my Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page. You could also go to votekevincry.com. And I'll be getting just more and more information out as we're going into election season. We have a packed show today. I have a couple fantastic guests that I'm definitely excited about. My first guest here in studio today is Damon Magana, no relation to anybody locally, no family. I asked that. And then Amy Brown. Amy Brown, well, good morning, Amy and Damon.
Good morning, Kevin.
All right. So I've known Amy, and it's crazy because you're never supposed to talk about a female's age, but I've known her a long time. And someone said, well, how long have you known her? I said, oh, I don't know, at least, 20 or 30 years. And then I think I started working with her when she was like 15. And so that makes her about 30. And the person looks at me and kind of like cross-eyed and says, well, that math doesn't really add up. So
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good to you. Exactly. So Amy and Damon are touring pickleball professional players. They actually have a whole business that we're going to talk briefly about here. And one of the things as being a supervisor, for me, it's a small business. Being a small business owner myself, it is super important that we get the message and the word out about phenomenal, great people, especially ones that work with kids, excuse me, as well. So Damon and Amy both have a pickleball academy. So Amy, tell me a little bit. And I just said that that I trained you when you were like in high school becoming a pro tennis player, and you toured for how long as a pro tennis player?
Oh man, till I ran out of money. Didn't take long.
So like a couple years,
yeah,
2-3 years?
Yeah.
Okay, and you played in quite a few tournaments. How many countries did you get to visit while you played tennis?
Playing tennis, I probably visited in high school. I went to Europe and played and trained, went to France and Belgium and Amsterdam, and then played in Switzerland and Germany as well.
That is awesome. And then I'm not going to spend as much time, Damon, because, you know, I care more about Amy.
But no problem.
I'm just kidding. But, and congratulations, both of you. You guys have been married how long now?
3 years on Halloween.
That's awesome. And if you, when you get to know Amy, you'll know she is one of the most competitive people alive. I would have been roughly 27-ish, and you were about 16, somewhere in there. No, it would have been, you might have been 15, and I might have been 24. I think that would have been the age. And I wasn't very good. I played tennis in high school, but we would jaw back and forth, and she would kill me. She was phenomenal, and it was awesome. So, okay, so when did you guys start playing pickleball? What was that transition?
Actually, so our background is tennis, and we took a road trip, and we're visiting a old tennis colleague in San Antonio, Texas. And he's like, have you tried pickleball? We're like, no, what is it? We'd never even heard of it a couple years ago. And so we went to this place called Chicken and Pickle and grabbed some paddles and just started hitting around. And a couple other players there asked to play with us. And like, oh, we don't know any of the rules. And then when we moved to Reading, it was a bunch of people were playing. So we just started to, just start to play with like at the park.
No, and that is awesome. Now, for you guys were tennis pros in San Francisco. Was it the Bay Club?
Yes.
Yes, and that's like one of the mecca, what would you call it? Country clubs, right, in the state. I mean, Bay Club is very.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bay Clubs all over the country now, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you guys were tennis pros there. So when you came a couple, you guys came during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Moved back, which is awesome. So you started playing pickleball. So how did you end up directing the pickleball and tennis at Riverview and Reading?
Well, we weren't sure what we were going to do when we got back. We're like, are we going to keep coaching? Should we try something else? I was working on my pilot's license, same as you, jujitsu. And I was like, okay, we need to figure this out, or we got to move. And we went to Riverview and just asked what they were doing. And they said, not much. See what you can do. And, you know, when we got there, there wasn't a lot of programming. So we first started with tennis, and we had people that we played against that were asking us, like, what if you try a league, and what if you try that? And so we kept taking suggestions and just keep adding on to it.
That's awesome. So what do you guys offer in your program there at Riverview?
Well, right now, just private lessons, group lessons, clinics, leagues, tournaments.
Oh, tournaments. Do you guys have any upcoming tournaments anytime soon?
Yeah, we have our second annual Reading Open, which will be October 5th and 6th.
October 5th and 6th. And how can people get more information, either online, phone call, email? What do you want to give out so people can get a hold of you? And sponsors, right? You're looking for sponsors.
Yeah, we're looking for sponsors. We love just growing the community and making Reading like a pickleball hotspot, you know. Instead of people going to, you know, Chico or Sacramento, like, it's a place where people come and play at our tournaments. So we want to keep adding on to it. And sponsors help us do that, adding more, like, raffle prizes and food and T-shirts. And we want to do, like, enamel pins or just things that are just fun that add to the experience. And people can sign up at our website, which is dnatennisclub.com. .com. I know we need to change it to pickleball.
Okay, so but it's the letter D, letter N, mm-hmm. letter A, yeah. tennisclub.com.
Yeah. Damon and Amy.
Damon and Amy.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's dnatennisclub.com. They can sign up there. Also, do you have a phone number where people can reach you if they don't want to sign up online?
Yeah. Phone number is 530-205-3615.
That is awesome. It's 530-205-3615. 1-5. Now, jumping back as we wrap up here, now you guys have played in a couple opens, pro opens, have traveled around as mixed doubles, but you're wanting to compete, correct, Amy?
Correct.
and do open yourself. And you said one of the things when we spoke a couple weeks ago was that you're having a hard time finding people good enough to train with that will train long enough. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's hard because of our a lot of there's some good players here for sure. But our schedule is work mornings and evenings. And, you know, in Reading in the summer, it's pretty hot in that afternoon.
Okay.
And so getting people to commit to playing a couple hours in the afternoon when it's 100 degrees is tough. And then we also work weekends. So finding the schedule and then just people that are just kind of driven, that are willing to play and just battle it out and train is I mean, it's hard. Just like it was in tennis as a junior. You got to play with whoever you can play with.
That's awesome. Now, people... If, like, businesses, if they want to sponsor, because a lot of times the more sponsorship in a tournament, the more people will draw, possibly prize money. Is there going to be an open division in this tournament?
Not in this tournament, but we would like to have one in the future.
Okay, so what I would encourage a business to do, and there's quite a few out there, but I would say somebody should jump on this, because I know there's been talk of a pickleball center coming, possibly, but that's, and again, I've said for years, having a big basketball complex or pickleball, like, good luck, because the overhead is just astronomical to keep a place that big heated in the winter and cooled in the summer and the lights on. You would have to just do such crazy numbers, and that's why those types of things haven't come. But whether it comes or not, pickleball is growing. Pickleball is something that people of all ages can play, and if a business wants to jump on and do a cash prize, this would be the time. Is that correct?
Yeah, it would be amazing to have. Like, we're playing in an open in Bend, Oregon. And it's fun because it attracts a lot of high-level players, you know, that are willing to come out of town, and it'd be great to see that in Reading.
Okay, so reach out to Damon and Amy when it comes to sponsorship, playing in it, getting involved in leagues, private lessons, and I would like to throw down a challenge that anybody who can beat Amy, I will donate $100 towards their program sponsoring kids of low socioeconomic needs. So I'm not paying for the rich kids to play. But I will say, if you're man, woman, some combination thereof, whatever, if you can beat Amy, caller, player, and if you beat her, then I'm going to donate $100 up to $1,000, because hopefully there's a lot of people that want to try and beat you and sponsor some kids playing. So thank you both for coming in. I appreciate you. Good luck. And then just we'll definitely have you back to find out how it's going. So thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, so we are going to jump in to we have We have Ted Bambino from the Reading Rodeo Association. The president is going to be on here shortly. What I want to do is I want to be able to segue now, you know, and I guess we'll keep some keep it going with like a sports theme a little bit. Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame yesterday as the Fighting Irish are ranked number 5, and I'm not sure if CEO Dave Rickert is a fan being from Illinois, but that'll probably be the upset of the year. You know, and in the coach's post-game talk, he teared up greatly and said the kids just believed. You know, they just flat out believed and they got to work. So, Kevin, what does this have to do with politics? Well, I feel like when I ran my first of my 4 campaigns, because, you know, I had 3 elections in the last 2 years, but in my first campaign, or the first 2 campaigns, which would have been the primary, then the general election of 22, I really felt like the underdog as well. And I felt like if I just got to work, I put the work in, I put the time in, I got the message out, it would all work out. And then it was the same, that was the same, definitely the same theme for the bogus recall. And, you know, one of the things, or the few of the things I ran on, was local control. I ran on local control. And, you know, I've delivered on that. As of January of 2025, Shasta will be a charter county. I mean, it doesn't get any more local than that. We also have, you know, two amendments on the November ballot this year about, you know, electing people when the office is vacated and taking the long-term control from supervisors away when somebody leaves office. And now it's returned to the voters as fast as possible to elect their people, whether it's sheriff, DA, auditor, controller, tax collector, assessor, recorder, et cetera. So I think getting the local control back is important. And another thing I ran on was, you know, government involvement or corruption, you know, and under that government involvement, you know, fell public safety, parental rights, other things just around government. And, you know, government corruption and property rights is an item, you know, that I, I campaigned on, and it's been a very relevant thing, you know, because of the illegal land deal that current, city of Reading candidate Aaron Reznor, and who was also my opponent in the Board of Supervisors election in 22, and 3 other city council members tried to, you know, they tried to illegally sell land to block the Reading Rancheria's move to I-5, which, you know, which has moved through the courts, and, you know, they now have their flag up, and that project's moving forward because that project is legal and right, and the Reading Rancheria is a government. You know, whether I like them moving or not, the reality is they have the right to do it. So private property rights has always been important. So I delivered, I'm delivering again on the eminent domain. The eminent domain item that's going on the ballot basically is just, reemphasizes, Prop 99. So, the government can't take private property and give it to another private property owner. So, for me, again, I brought this forward because I'm always looking ahead of what the government is doing. And, you know, one of my favorite presidents is, you know, President Ronald Reagan, you know, and he said in many of his quotes that the government is not your friend. I mean, actually, one of my favorite quotes exactly is government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And, another, you know, one about, you know, just around quotes of Reagan's. He had another one that was, you know, government isn't the solution to our problems. Government subsidizes them. And so anyway, I digress. But as a supervisor, we sit on a lot of boards. And when it comes to rooting out what's going on locally, I've slowly worked and within some of these boards. There was the CAB board that I had some questions on, and I got off of that, and Supervisor Garman's on that now. But like the Shasta Youth Options, Shasta Youth Options, many of you have heard me speak about that board and how passionate I am about the work they do, or the work that we do. They it oversees peer court. And if you don't know much about peer court, you have you know, youth that have entered the criminal justice system at a very, hopefully, low level, and this is an opportunity for them to get their lives righted before they really ever go down a bad path. And it's, I mean, the organization's been around, I think, 25-plus years. And for me, you know, and we also do oversee Silk Camp, and there's the Mud Run as one of the big fundraisers, but I brought some really, really big things up in that process. And, when it, and again, I'm not saying government corruption, but it's about improprieties that happen within organizations. And I'm bringing a lot of that stuff out. And a lot of times I'm the lone vote. I'm the lone vote, usually at the beginning. But by the end, most people, or almost all people, tend to say, Kevin, you were right. And so how does this go into the third thing that I ran on a lot was transparency. And this is the hardest part about being a supervisor. There's things, and I've alluded to some of the stuff that's gone on, and other supervisors will try and make a case that people are leaving because of this board majority. And that's not inaccurate in some ways. This board majority right now is demanding accountability. This board majority right now is demanding that our dollars are spent wisely and they're invested in getting a return to the community. And you're seeing that. And, you know, I know Supervisor Jones, one of the things that he's really working on is the CTCL grant and the 174 emails and just how grossly inappropriate that was handled. But that's not my thing. That's Supervisor Jones's things. But one of the things that I'm going to talk briefly about is you will see people coming up in public comment. And I've been off the air now for a couple months, and I'm just seeing it because here's the thing. Is people, especially that have been in government 8 years or that are maybe even seeking a longer time in government, they know the game, they know the system. And when we have things in closed session like investigations, things like that, which there have been many, and guess what? All of them have come back with essentially zero findings, zero basis of fact. Because what people know is if they can send county counsel, outside counsel down support services down these rabbit hole goose chases and keep everybody busy, everybody chasing things down, then they can't do the work that really we're trying to do, which is making our government more efficient, more customer or more constituent friendly. And that goes everything from resource management to public works to elections to everything that's important to all of you. And what we have now is believe me, I want to bring so much stuff out of closed session, but we can't because when somebody makes an accusation, many, many, many people have to be interviewed. And if we release items and investigations out of closed session, then what it does is it makes those innocent people who have had to testify, give depositions, etc., they're now at risk of what they said. And it is so flipping vindicating. For me, every time there's a new one, I kind of laugh because I just get to put a tally mark. And this is where, and I'm not saying our 45th president, Donald Trump, is a perfect human being. But when I see what has happened to him over time and what the onslaught he's faced, I get it. And I'm not saying it's to that level, but I get it because there are people that have done things in our county that are so grossly, I can't say illegal, but so unethical. And then you see top people try and cover it up. And at the end of the day, early in my term, in the first 60 days, I was threatened and attempted to be bullied into doing things and going down a road I did not want to go. And an individual said, I kind of laughed after the threat. And they said, "You think that's funny getting recalled in your first 90 days? You want that to be your legacy?" You know what I said? I said, "My legacy is, did I love the Lord? Did I honor my wife? And did I raise my kids up in the way I'm supposed to?" And you could see the blood from this individual's face essentially leave his head. This individual turned white. And after that happened, and I have the date written down, but it's been a succession of item after item after item. But what was really troubling, and I know this now much more so than back then, as I go and share what was happening or what had happened, what I didn't know then was there was a big cover-up. And the process of trying to bury that. So the more information I gave, the more information that was used against me. And this was part of the recall. I 1,000% believe it. Now, here's the thing. People have to trust that truth wins in the end. And the truth is, I believe righteousness is winning. I believe people, and I'm not saying every employee that has left the county since January of 23 is bad or evil. Not at all. Not at all. There are people that have gone on to get higher paying jobs. They've wanted to leave the area to help their retirement. They've had opportunities to go do things that they've always wanted to do. And I say, man, go for it. Go and kill it and have a fantastic life. But there are some that have left because they know. They know, and now that we have a county council, and you ask any department head, and I haven't talked to all of them, but I'd be willing to bet you ask any department head that our county council's office is ran more efficiently, at a higher capacity, doing more than possibly ever in the history of Shasta County. And I could give you example after example. We never had a CRM, I would call it a CRM, but we never had a system in place where county council knew what everybody was doing. It was all done versus, you know, email and hearsay or conversations, but there was no big database bank of what everybody's working on. And every county council's office that I've called, and I've called and asked a few, and I asked what companies they use or what's their process, or even in private practice, everybody has one. But our county didn't have one. So you would do that for one of two reasons. You would do that because maybe you're incompetent, and I don't think that's what it is. I think another reason you do that is to not have information readily available with what happens. So I'm not looking to make this show Tales of the Crypt and go back, but what I'm saying is we're going forward, and we're going forward at a pace and an initiative that you will start to see, and we already have. You'll start to see the fruits of the labor of getting the right people in the right places, moving the county in a very transparent way. So when I hit on transparency, I would like to share so much more, but I can't, because I will not throw innocent people under the bus just so I can thump my chest and say I was right. See, I told you so. Because the collateral damage of hardworking, ethical, high integrity people is worth more to me. So what I would just ask many of you who are just begging and asking and coming up in public comment, like what I've just said here on the radio live is more than I've really said in a really, really, really long time, really at all. But it has to be addressed because it drives me nuts that, and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the media to FOIA the right things. But, you know, will they ever do it? I doubt it. But if they ever do, if they ever catch on, it would be fantastic because Annalise Pierce for Shasta Scout did an article on the illegal land deal, and that was huge. And it was great investigative journalism, and it came out, and whether she had a tip or whatever, I think that that's what needs to be done. People need to understand what has happened. So as transparent as I want to be and deliver on more and more and more, I can just tell you that I'm working on it. Lastly, you know, I've been looking into the court and the criminal justice system. You know, is it we aren't arresting people? Is it that we arrest people but there isn't room in the jail? Is it lack of judges? Are we not prosecuting people, et cetera? You know, what is it? I mean, many have noticed that the DA's office has ramped up media efforts about cases in general, and, you know, and that's a good thing. I think it's great the DA's doing that. It keeps the public informed. There's great contention, however, about how many cases are backlogged and then ultimately getting dismissed because of, and I quote, no judge or courtroom available. You know, people need to understand. I just want to know, and many of you have asked me to find out, like, what's going on. In the last 6 weeks alone, the DA's office has refused to take 7 cases to trial in front of Judge McKee. And ultimately, it results in those cases being dismissed 2 weeks later because of no judge available. And I quote, no judge available. So, you know, I need to qualify all this information also because with the disclaimer that, you know, I've not spoken specifically to DA Bridget or Judge McKee about all of this, but it's all fact and it's public record. You know, my sources tell me that Judge McKee is a highly respected and has a phenomenal track record as a sitting judge. I also you know, hear very positive things about our district attorney as well. So to me, this, you know, this begs the question, why would Judge McKee be disqualified under what is known as a 170.6, or in the judicial system, they just call it a 0.6, which is the code of civil procedure, seven times within roughly the last couple months. So Judge McKee, we say there's no judge, there's no courtrooms available, but yet in the last 6 weeks, seven times, Judge McKee has been 0.6. And, you know, and I just want to go back to the basis of, you know, as a supervisor, I don't have a staff. I don't have a whole bunch of people looking into this for me. So as I asked county council and the CEO's office to put together some opportunities or some options for the board to consider to find out what's going on in our criminal justice system, do we have to lean on the courts? Do we have to lean on the state? Do we have to lean on the sheriff? Do we have to lean on the DA? Like, I don't care. It's not about whose fault or whose blame. I just want to make Shasta County safer. And now that the city of Redding is really pushing cleaning up some of the homeless camps and stuff, there's more activity, and I want to see people held accountable because I ran on public safety as well. And, you know, we're bringing body cams, we're bringing the highway program back, so I'm delivering on that, but I want to know if we arrest people, what are we doing? Or, you know, are we arresting them, etc.? So I'll be working on that also a ton, and I'll be talking about that this Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I'm going to have Ted Bambino, the president of the Redding Rodeo Association, and we're going to be talking the last 30 minutes about what's going on with the rodeo and a letter that the Board of Supervisors and all the electeds in Shasta County are putting forth this Tuesday. So with that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
All right, we are back, broadcasting live downtown Redding, heart of District 1, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You could also stream online, kcnr1460.com. You can also always go to the archives. You can go to votekevincry.com, and it'll be posted there. And you're going to probably see the beautiful face of Redding Rodeo President Ted Bambino, because there'll be a link to this show there. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me.
Absolutely. So I wanted to have you come in. I know this last week, the city of Redding voted to do an ad hoc committee, which would include two members of the Redding City Council, and that was Councilman Joshua Johnson and Mayor Tanessa Audette, to form an ad hoc committee to basically work with you to work on some long-term lease. And the end date was July of 2025. Well, I saw that, and that was insane. So to give some backstory, in late May, early June, I prepared a letter that I was going to bring before the Board of Supervisors to, you know, basically really, really ask very harshly the city council to get you guys a lease. And I spoke with Mayor Audette, had a couple other conversations with people, and I decided to hold off. They said, hey, give it time. We're going to work on it. We're going to get this done. Great. So I saw it on the agenda. So I said, okay, that's perfect. But I like to be prepared. So I rewrote the letter with staff, and the letter was, you know, again, very strongly worded. I did take a couple things out, but at Tuesday's meeting, I was completely moved that Sheriff Michael Johnson went up and spoke in public comment. And knowing Sheriff Johnson, like I do, and we didn't have the best relationship in some ways. And I'm not going to go into huge detail, but again, there was two slates. I was on a slate opposite of him, but we've really, really worked well together. And I really admire the guy. And I know him going up there and doing something like that is not something that he says, I'm going to go speak in public comment about an issue that doesn't really relate to being a sheriff. And he did that. Mm-hmm. So the next day after the vote, which the vote again said to kick this can down the road, I went to staff and said, I want to include every elected official in this letter. This letter isn't going to just come from the Board of Supervisors. It's going to come from any elected that wants to jump on. So I went to Nolda Short first. Within seconds, she's like, I'm in. And then I went to Lori Scott, our treasurer tax collector. She said, I'm in. And then I went to Sheriff Johnson. Then I went to the district attorney. Then I went to the ROV. All of them, immediately, I'm in. The only one that didn't, that's a Shasta County elected, is the superintendent of schools, Mike Freeman, and he said he wanted to just stick to education, which is fine. That's his prerogative. Mm-hmm. But you have the Board of Supervisors and five elected offices. We will all sign that, assuming there's three votes at the Board of Supervisors that we want to support you guys, the Reading Rodeo, in getting a long-term lease. Now, you hear people on the dais say, oh, we love the Reading Rodeo. We love the Reading Rodeo. But they may love the rodeo, Ted, but my belief is they can say they love the rodeo, but they probably don't love the rodeo grounds. And they may not be as for Shasta County because their vision of it is different. So help me unpack that.
Yeah, you know, it's very true that there's a difference between loving the rodeo and loving the rodeo grounds. You know, we've learned that over the past few years that we need to be very specific in conversation about what is it you really like. Our rodeo is phenomenal. That's undisputed.
Phenomenal.
When you start talking about the rodeo grounds, we're all for improving it. It needs some work. We know that. We put $500,000 of our own money into it in the last 4 years with improvements that a lot of them are unseen because it's underground, electrical. We've done some fencing and gates and those type of things, but we want to get big and do this into a multi-purpose facility. Now, with that said, we need a long-term lease to do that. We've looked back into the archives, and we've dug up, Cindy, Sean Holtz, our general manager, has dug up the leases from way back into the 40s, and I don't think we've had anything longer than 10 years for those long-term leases that they call long-term. Well, now that we want to do the improvements that we want to do with this facility, we need the long-term lease for grant funding and for private financing that we want to obtain. Nobody's going to give it to you with a 10-year lease or a 5-year lease or a 3-year lease. It needs to be substantial, just like any loan on a house. They're not going to loan you on a house unless you got, you know, credit back to support it. So we need that long-term lease. We need stability for our organization. We need stability for our town. And we feel that now is the time to get that. And we need to get it done. We need to get it done now. So I believe we're on the right path. And I think that the people that were looking at this back when the AP numbers came up 3 years ago and they tried to sell this land, I don't want to call it a backdoor deal. It was a deal that was not publicized to the public. And they tried to pull that deal off. The public came out in groves. And that was pretty warm-hearted for us and for a lot of the people involved with that process about how much this community loves the rodeo. We know they love the rodeo, but when that happens, it was apparent that this is the path we want to go.
I think people that have been here a long time, even people that have been here a short time, I mean, it's the rodeo for sure, and that's an anchor point. But I think people just love Shasta County and our rural way of life and who we are. And you take the rodeo out, or you alter it and make it something it's not.
Right.
We're losing Shasta County.
Right. It's a tradition. You know, it's a tradition that goes back into. I was reading some archives a few years ago, and you know, we talk about the boat ramp and the fishermen, and we're all for them. We love those guys. And I was reading some of the minutes from the city council. Back, I think it was in 48 or 49, and my wife's uncle, Orville, had an agenda item to allow the fishermen to drive through the rodeo grounds to get to the boat ramp. So this thing, this has been going on for years and years and years about, you know, working together in conversation. And that was just a, you know, 5-minute deal. Now we're talking when we want to do something, we have to go through this major act to get anything done down there. And we feel that we had to do some work. After the deal 3 years ago, we got our house in order. We hired our general manager. We invested in ADA ramps. We invested in the lights and paid those off completely. So we've done our work, and our board right now is very, very talented group of people. They're not a bunch of slouches like they think downtown. We have vice presidents of construction companies. We have surveyor engineers. We have business owners.
Well, and you just hit on it right there. When you said downtown, like, unpack that. Are you saying that, like, you feel like people just think, oh, the Reading Rodeo, they're just a bunch of hicks or hillbillies and they don't know what they're doing? And then, but you guys are, I mean, you guys are, your board is highly qualified, various industries, super intelligent, and you're not just going to get bowled over.
Right. Well, without going into names, but when
that's okay.
Yeah, when we were in the process with the Riverfront Specific Plan, which again we participated fully in that, we had a seat at the table for the stakeholders. We participated in all the group sessions that they had with the public. It's very good for us and good for them. But there were some public officials that stated things like, it was up to me. I just bulldozed that place down, and comments like, I don't know how they're going to get anything done. They're just a bunch of volunteers. You know, we took offense to that.
And you should. I took offense to it, and I'm not even on the board.
Yeah, so.
And that's why you're here.
We kind of took offense to that, and then we just kind of put our ears back, you know, and went forward without getting negative, without, you know, calling people out on it. We heard it, and we just want to do the right thing. It's not about proving who's right and who's wrong. It's about doing the right thing.
And Ted, that's my question, right, is it's not about proving, you know, people right or wrong, or as one person says, you know, that I give these coaches sound bites, which is super highly offensive to me. But at the end of the day, it's like, let's just call it out. Let's just call out what it is. You have people that have come up in public comment, right, and have said, we want to surplus land it. They've said it. Mm-hmm. And I believe the only reason this is moving even faster than anticipated is I believe this is a political football that was punted because they want to get through the election, and then they want to do what they want to do. Now, I can't, and I'm not going to call out names, but at the end of the day right now, I think the public pressure is so overwhelming because you wouldn't vote on a motion to kick something to possibly 2025 of July and then try and do it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's like, wait a minute. So if you could have done that, you could have done that 6 weeks ago.
Right.
I've been having this conversation with city council people for over 6 months. And this goes back to when I was speaking with former mayor, former councilman Michael DeQuisto. And let's not forget, DeQuisto and Mazzano were the two top vote getters of their elections, and Mazzano was the top vote getter in Shasta County for the assembly race. So I think people who support those two specifically, like, and their platform has been in part giving the rodeo a long-term lease. I think that the public has spoken, and I think since the City of Reading meeting, I think it's becoming overwhelming. So, I mean, are you seeing it move faster now than it was 6 weeks ago?
I believe so. I think our meeting that we had on the 3rd with the ad hoc committee forming was a very enlightening appearance from our public. Our public comment session was fantastic. We had people from back in the 40s and 50s speaking, and all the way up to Michael Johnson speaking, and members from the Asphalt Cowboys speaking, and it was pretty impressive. But what's happened, I think, is it's obvious that this city wants this, and we've been very
the county. It's Bernie. It's not just the city. I mean, I know.
Yeah, this area, right? Yeah, Shasta County and above and
the
around,
region.
Yeah.
The region wants it.
Exactly.
There's people from Siskiyou County who, when they found out you were going to be on the show, they said thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, people from Siskiyou County.
Yeah. Well, that's great because I have a lot of relatives from up there.
Well, but, maybe that's who called.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just kidding.
Nevertheless, you know, we're proud of the fact that we have the only professional sport in the Reading area. And even though it's, you know, you may or may not like rodeo, as the fact is, this thing's a tradition. It's an event that's happened for years. It's everything that goes around the rodeo. But let's be clear on what the rodeo and the Asphalt Cowboys and all the affiliated clubs do for this community. Hundreds of thousands of dollars given back to this community time and time and time again. That's what we're about. We're not about making a bunch of money. We're about giving back to the community, and we need to have the funds now to improve this facility to make it more of a multi-use facility. We want to work with the community. We want to work with Advance Reading to have concerts and situations there. We've worked great with the Rancheria for their powwow. We're going to have probably Big Bike Weekend in 2025 is approached us to use the facility. We have motocross races down there. All those are donated to the community and given to these facilities to the use of the facilities to better their events. So we're more than just rodeo as this thing goes forward. And we think that we've made a statement. Our communities make a statement. Our attorneys have handed the intent letter to the city staff that we will have a lease draft. We will participate in the ad hoc with our lease draft.
Yeah, and then
we're not lease experts. I don't believe that they're lease experts up at the council. They may say they are in certain ways, and they probably have some attributes there. But, hey, let's be real. Let's leave it to the attorneys that do this for a living, and let's do it right one time.
Yeah, and the Surplus Land Act, which the people used to hide, I won't say hide under, but that is a legitimate thing that they didn't want it. They couldn't give the long-term lease because then it would put it up for surplus land and someone could bid and come out from underneath you guys. Mm-hmm. They didn't want that to happen. But that has been taken off the table legislatively, and that has changed. And it's an ever-developing law. Is that correct?
It is correct.
So now unpack that for people. So the surplus land thing is off the table. We don't have to deal with that so much anymore. And tell us why.
Well, as we learned, the Surplus Land Act is a changing document in Sacramento. This surplus that land that they put out there with the Civic Auditorium and the rodeo grounds is something that is very, very small to the big picture. We're talking about surplus land in metropolitan areas that are billions and billions and billions of dollars. This one just happened to fall in that bucket, and it's fallen out of that bucket. Our lease that we're going to extend was done September of 2018 or 19, I believe, and that was prior to being affected by the Surplus Land Act anyway. As this changing document happens and the time of our lease, it's a non-topic.
Yeah.
As far as we understand from our attorney, who is one of the best in this area on all of these.
Well, not just in this area, like in Shasta County, but like even regionally.
Correct.
I mean, you can say the name if you'd like, but
he would not want me to.
No, exactly. But
very humble guy.
Exactly, and I respect that. So, but this individual does land stuff like all over.
Correct.
Like he is an expert of experts.
Correct.
And you know, so what can the public do to, I mean, they can come out Tuesday. The Board of Supervisors, R3, is probably going to kick off about 9:20, 9:25, depending on how long our Employee of the Month and how long our supervisor reports and ledge update from our CEO. That's R1 and R2. So R3 will be 9:20, 9:30, probably the latest. What can people do other than come out and speak at that to support you guys? Is it put pressure on, because this really comes down to the city council. I mean, the city of Reading, those five individuals are the ones that control this.
Correct. I don't know, Kevin, that we're in the need of any more negative.
Well,
pressure.
Not negative, but, just pressure in general.
I would say just speak from the heart.
Okay.
You know, and speak it from the heart for what you want in the community you live in is a very powerful message to people in elected positions. I mean, look at your Board of Supervisors and the letter that has been drafted with the elected officials from the county. That's a powerful statement, and it's very positive, and it's very influential to people making decisions. So that's the approach we need. We love our community. We love the people that support Rodeo, and we respect the people that maybe don't, and we want to hear from you, and we want to be able to sway you into our way of life and the Western way of life and honesty.
Amen.
You know, God, family, and country, right? So
absolutely.
That's kind of the status we live behind.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I get it. My approach isn't everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not. And but if I'm guilty of anything, sometimes it's letting my emotion drip over and how I care and how I express myself. Mm-hmm. And when I see people I feel that are using something that's like beloved to me, and it's the rodeo isn't beloved to me. I told you this last year was the first time I went in probably 20 some years. The last time I think I went, I was 10 or 11, and they had like they let the a sheep or whatever go, and they put all the kids under 12 years old in the arena, and whoever got it won $5, and they'd let three of them go, and they probably stopped it because someone probably got hurt. I'm assuming at some point, but I wrestled it because my mom wouldn't buy me a bag of Skittles for like 40 cents. That's how I guess old I am, and I wrestled this thing to the ground and won my $5, and I think I bought like 4 or 5 packs of Skittles.
Nice.
And, but that's like the last time, and that was my memory, but it is so, I'm trying to cling to everything Shasta County that makes us.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want improvement.
Yeah.
I want improvement, but I don't want it to come at the expense of possibly losing who we are.
Yeah, let me tell you a little story about a local business that, has come to Reading, and I spoke to him about this, and he's full agreeance of this process. We had a sponsor out of Oregon come about 3 years ago and called us up and said, hey, we want to get involved. And they got involved, and they gave us, I think, money for an arena sign. And the next year they did the arena sign again. They came and spent time in Rodeo Flats. I got to know these people. Wonderful, wonderful people. The next year they came up and they ponied up a little bit more for sponsorship because they liked what they saw. And they liked the way things were. Well, we became friends, and I've turned them on to people in this community because they were looking for a place to open their business. And Grange Co-op came from Oregon to Reading.
Really?
And I asked him, I said, Neil, I says, how do you feel about Reading and so on? He said, well, we didn't really know a whole lot about Reading when we came here until we got involved with rodeo. And the people of the rodeo sold us on coming to Reading to build our business and to be part of this community. And that was very warm feeling for us. That's just one example of hundreds and hundreds of influential people because of the way the rodeo has happened and developed for years and years in this community.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't, you know, I think, the first time I had saw you in years, and again, for the listeners, full transparency, right? I trained, Greg and Aaron's two phenomenal men as baseball players.
Ricky and Greg.
Ted. I was already thinking about Greg. And both phenomenal athletes. So I've known you in the family a long time. Mm-hmm. But when I saw you at a city council meeting, I didn't even know you were involved in rodeo. You had the red shirt on, cowboy hat, but that wasn't. I'd seen you in a cowboy hat before. But and then we got to talking. This was, I think, maybe in 22 or maybe it was 23.
When you were considering running for
I think it was in 22, and then I just kind of slowly watched it, and then now I realize how much pull elected officials truly have, but also how they arrive at decisions. And I think stories of the Grange Co-op, I mean, that it doesn't just affect people going on a weekend or a week during the year for a fun event. I mean, we're talking about it changes economically from a tax base. And the people that are involved, the rodeo brings mass amounts of people, just like Cool April Nights. Is there,
correct,
if somebody wants to get involved, and I know you're not Asphalt Cowboys, but if somebody wants to get involved with the Reading Rodeo as a volunteer, are there opportunities to volunteer?
Oh, 100%. And let me explain the process real quickly for.
No, we got time. You're good.
Okay. Asphalt Cowboys is the promotional wing of the Reading Rodeo. It was developed by John Bama back in the 40s when he was losing ranchers to suburbia, and all these men were businessmen all of a sudden, and he needed people to help promote the rodeo. So the Asphalt Cowboys was developed then. They do phenomenal work today. down at the park. You'll have the drive-through barbecue. Most of that money goes right back into this community. They do a fantastic job. The Reading Rodeo, we are the ones that put on the rodeo. We actually are the facilitators of the rodeo. We hold the lease for the rodeo grounds in the area down there. If you want to get involved, you can get on our website and go become a member. And click on the links, and then you can contact me directly or anybody on our board, and you can start coming to meetings and learn what it's like to be part of the Reading Rodeo. There's different levels of involvement. I'm blessed and fortunate to be able to give, 99% of my time to Reading Rodeo, but there are other positions to where we're developing a Wrangler program to where if you can, give some time, a month of the rodeo, before, during, and after, huge asset for us to have people, good people in this community, be part of the rodeo.
Yeah, and then, you've been involved as in a volunteer capacity for a lot of great organizations. I mean, Foothill Baseball was the very first one where I met you.
Yeah,
But I mean, but how do the people in, and not saying anything negative about any other organization, but how do the people of Reading Rodeo, like what makes your group so special?
I think the passion for the sport, the honesty and integrity of the sport in a whole. It's not very many sports you see, guys competing against each other, but rooting just as hard for their competitors as they are for themselves. It's incredible to watch that. So when you're around those people, you develop a passion and a love for the right way of life. Like I said, God, country, and family, however you want to put it in your place. But it's just an amazing sport to be part of. And then with the Reading Rodeo, where we're located is phenomenal. I mean, we have the national anthem every year. The last few years, Bennett Gooch and I have stood next to each other and watched the Marines come in on their Palomino horses. And then we watch the honkers lift off out of the cemetery over the cross of the arena down to the Sundial Bridge. There's nothing better.
Exactly.
There's nothing better.
Yeah, and a lot of times even just the one time that I was there, and I had this discussion with somebody who was sitting in the box or in the group of seats next to me, that you'll see the most grown men cry at a rodeo during a national anthem when it has to do something with the
Absolutely.
Military. And that's really... And I don't want to lose that. I don't want my grandson who, who's almost 4 months old, who I have, which is crazy to say that I have a grandson, but, I want him to have the option to go to the rodeo, but I don't want to lose Shasta County.
Right.
Like we are a rural county. We are not suburban.
Right.
We are definitely not urban.
Right.
And, so is there any last thing that we haven't touched on that you'd like to hit on?
No, I just think, the tradition, the warmth, the honesty, the integrity of the rodeo in a whole, the involvement with the community, the give back to the community, all those things are vitally important. We did have a lady that grew up in Anderson, went to Anderson High School, moved away.
Go Cubs. Sorry.
Yeah, go Cubs, right. Yeah. She moved away to Southern California. Life took its place, got married, had kids, and wanted to get back to Shasta County. First thing she did was bought a place in Palo Cedro and called the Reading Rodeo.
That's awesome.
And she's a big supporter of the Reading Rodeo, and she wanted to be back here on how she was brought up with the values that we have in this community. And rodeo, Cool April Nights, Big Bike, all these places, all these organizations here have the same philosophy.
Yeah, and that's what I think is just so important. And I know the Shasta County Chamber is really working on pulling every corner of the county together to try and get more of these experiences, more of these, whether it's Intermountain Fair, mm-hmm. Shasta District mm-hmm. Fair, and all of these, anything at the Shasta Caverns, rodeo, like bringing right. everything together so people know. Because I think we're attracting great people here.
Oh,
like
for sure.
We've got some employees at the county that have just started in the last year, people that are still applying for positions. And you're right. This is a draw. People should be proud of what Shasta County is, was, and will continue to be.
Right.
So
right.
with that, Ted, I really, really appreciate your friendship. Most of all, I appreciate your love for Shasta County and the rodeo and how you're standing up for it. Again, this Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors, come out, put a public comment card in, express your desire about seeing the city of Reading, getting this deal done. not using it as a political football, and take care of the people that have taken care of Shasta County and our families in the tradition of the Reading Rodeo. So, Ted, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Have a great day, everybody, and talk to you soon.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.